Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus, as usual, and Lotus and I have been going through the main quest lines, or quest, I guess, lines plural, because it can branch. I guess that
Daggerfall
is right.
Daggerfall has several lines.
Yeah, so the main quest lines of Daggerfall, but we're taking a break. I'm going to give Lotus some extra time to get through the rest of his adventuring, because I know.
I would really like to finish it before we finish it on the show. We'll see if I can manage to pull that off, because it has been a while in the making.
Yeah. So I definitely want Lotus to be able to experience all of it so he can chime in like he normally does with all of his thoughts and things on it. So there is a lot of other stuff in Daggerfall. Daggerfall was the first game to do many of the things that we associate with the regular Elder Scrolls games, including the Dark Brotherhood. This is the first appearance of the Dark Bros. And I was like, hey, Lotus, why don't we talk about the Dark Brotherhood this week? Because it is surprisingly fleshed out for such an early game in the series.
Right. The thing about Daggerfall, which is why I think it gets so much like just love even years and years later, it's kind of the first one. I mean, Arena's got its fans, obviously, but like Daggerfall is really to this day still the one that got so many people hooked on the series. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's gone a different direction. Everybody has their own favorite game and stuff like that. But Daggerfall has like so much to it. And what's more is so much has lingered into the series and evolved and stuff. But this is where it went from being like a kind of like an outline in a lot of ways to really kind of becoming what a lot of people know as Elder Scrolls things. And the Dark Brotherhood, it's kind of surprising how concrete a lot of it was in Daggerfall. And it's just been expanded upon as we've gone on. But it was there pretty much right from this game.
Yeah, we're going to point out all the things that we're basically going to take you on an overview. We're not going to lay out the specific quest lines for each of the steps during the quest lines.
Yeah, we're doing enough of that with the main quest. We're not just going to read how the game works.
And a lot of the Dark Brotherhood quests are all pretty similar to each other. It's like, go kill this person, go kill this person, go into dungeon, find the person, kill them.
Very similar to like the Mage's Guild and the
Right.
So they're all very purely set programming parameter for quest, and you roll one of these. So they're really very, what they call radiant questing, I think they called it in future games.
Yeah, radiant questing.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's a
generated questing.
Right. Like, and there's a specific order of like the thing you're supposed to do, but then of course on some of them it's like, well, it's a random dungeon roll. It just picks this dungeon and puts the person in the dungeon, you have to go kill them. But the more interesting part about this is are the things that are the same or the things that are different from the Dark Brotherhood experience in the other games. And so we're going to go through basically an overview of this and take you through some of the things that I think you might be surprised were in there from the beginning. So I think the first thing that we have to point out is, how do you join the Dark Brotherhood? And the solution to that is very simple. Lotus, how do you join the Dark Brotherhood in like Skyrim?
So, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of times people unintentionally join the Dark Brotherhood when they turn to the life of the murder hobo.
That's right.
You're killing somebody that really might not have deserved a killing, and suddenly you're met with somebody.
Right. So in Daggerfall, it's not just, oh, you murdered one innocent person, you're going to get visited at some point and then offered to join the group or whatever. No, you have to murder at least three citizens, or there's an alternate version here. You have to kill 15 town guards. Basically, you have to take out a small squad of town guards in order to join the Dark Brotherhood, which is kind of amazing. That number is very big.
So, one, I think that makes you a serial killer in game. But outside that stipulation, as Outlander Frog mentions, that is very specific, where it's like, look,
yeah,
three people,
right,
or 15 guards, meaning I guess in this world guards are considered sub people.
Well, they're not citizens, I guess, because maybe because they're ready for warfare or for battle. Right,
they're technically trained,
right, but they're considered soldiers.
It's just really funny that it's just like, look, there is a quota of you know, the police force in game, where it's right, like, nah, man, that's too far. Now you've reached serial killer status, and now we're going to contact you from the Dark Brotherhood.
Right.
I do appreciate they make you be a little more committed to it in this game, because I remember in Oblivion, I got my Dark Brotherhood invite just simply doing the Kavach mission.
Oh.
Because the guards that are with you on the assault of the Oblivion portal.
Yeah, the gate. Yeah, in Kavach.
Yeah, they're not the swiftest. And one of them ran in front of me and I just like destroyed him. And I'm like, whoopsie. And they're basically like, well, that's murder. And I was like, well, I mean, one, we're in combat. Is it really murder
it's
at that
friendly
point?
Friendly fire. Yeah. It's accidental, but
right,
sure.
So okay, in this game, yeah, they really make sure you're committed to
right,
murder.
Right, right. So you kill three regular citizens or 15 freaking guards, and then you wait 3 days. So you may not even have any sense of what triggered this when playing through it. And then you wait 3 days, and then you get this little message here. It says, a young street urchin presses a letter into your hand. As you attempt to question him, it becomes obvious that he is both deaf and mute. With a wave of frustration, you send him on his way. Or you get this. You feel a letter slip into your hand and hear the sound of footsteps scampering away. There is no other sign of the mysterious courier. It's like this surprise message just appears in your hand. Then you look at the letter and it says, player's name, which was Fredicus Maximus.
Beautiful Fredicus, yes, Maximus.
He's back. The Dark Brother has been watching you. You have slain without sanction several times. You must now join us or be counted as our foe. Travel to random town in random region and see apothecary's name of that town, right, who will give you further instructions. A brother. This is your introduction to the Dark Brotherhood. So this is very ominous, because basically they are saying you seem like a competitor. Either come work for us or you're going to be on our list of people that we will murder.
So yeah, pretty much. You either, at this point, once it's triggered, it becomes a, you are now with us or against us. There's no more ignoring us.
Right,
whereas
right,
if you just aren't murdering people, it's just like, yeah, no, they're just in the background type of deal.
Yeah, and you can follow through with this and then join the Dark Brotherhood and then go on like the initial quest and agree to it and then come back and say you did it and actually have done it. And then they're going to be happy with you, and then you continue on the quest lines with the Dark Brotherhood. Or you can either completely ignore them or fail or go back and say, like, before you were done, hey, I'm back. And then they're like, wait, you didn't finish the quest. And then they get all pissed off at you. And then they send assassins after you. And this is like a regular thing where, like, there's a dice roll to see if certain assassins will show up after certain periods of time in order to try to hunt you down.
So that is kind of funny, because that's something that's more or less like, it could happen once where you kind of have like the cleansing thing. It like sometimes there's situations where, you know, they need to deal with people going AWOL or doing their own thing.
Right.
And, you know, there's all these stipulations that happen. But one of the things that's supposed to happen is, if you're an upstanding member of the Dark Brotherhood, you're not supposed to like be murdering other Dark Brotherhood members. It's like one of the only rules they have.
Right.
Now, granted, it's broken all the time because these people are all
psychopathic
monsters. Right. Like, you know, you make an entire guild designed out of psychopaths, and spoiler alert, mm-hmm, that probably they're going to go after each other too. But yeah, it's like, yeah, thank you, Elander. Yeah, the purification of the sanctuaries. It's like, that's like an edict to get rid of problems.
Right.
But for the most part, they're not supposed to be basically sending hits on each other.
Well, get this. The first mission you go on is to kill a former member of the Dark Brotherhood,
right,
who leaves the Dark Brotherhood. And the quests that you go on after this are all sorts of like similar kinds of quests. Take out a freelancing assassin, execute a renegade mage on behalf of the Mages Guild because they weren't happy that the renegade mage left them.
I mean, I'm not surprised. The Mages Guild in Daggerfall are a bunch of douchebags. They are they are not only incredibly mean, they're wicked rude.
Yeah, yeah. You also have to execute a bard who composed a scandalous song about a local noble, and the nobles are pissed off about it.
That's really funny.
There's another one where you execute a member of the Mages Guild, not just somebody who left the Mages Guild.
There's somebody who made a bad potion, gave people the trots.
Right, right. There's another quest where you have to execute a knight who refused to protect a damsel. I guess that damsel was pretty pissed off. There's a number of these, but then there are some other ones where it's like, oh, go discover this thing or go perform a little minor side quest kind of thing. But they're not all just murder people, but most of them are.
There are some other options other than just kill.
Right. Even kill a high ranking member of the Thieves Guild, right? Because we've got the Dark Brotherhood and the Thieves Guild, two of people's favorites. And there's some crossover here between these different guilds. The final one is called the Veteran, and in this one you have to execute a veteran of the War of Bettany, and this is kind of the top ranking quest. And in order to get through the different ranks, you have to level up in the guild. In order to level up in the guild, there are some very specific requirements. You remember the reputation system we talked about in the main quest line?
Yep.
Well, that works with this stuff too. You sure does. As you do different kinds of quests, you get different reputation, and then that plays into it. But with the Dark Brotherhood, because it's a guild, there are associated guild skills. And your ability to move up in title is dependent not just on your reputation with the guild, how much they like you, how much you've completed quests for them, but also what your highest and lowest skill rankings are in guild skill lines. So you have to work at least two different skills that assassins in the Brotherhood would have and get them to high enough levels for you to be able to hit a rank. So an example of this is to go from apprentice to journeyman, you have to go from zero reputation because they don't know you yet. And you may even start negative depending on some of the other quests that you've done in the world.
Yeah, because we had mentioned before that sometimes you'll get that situation where by increasing your rank from one group, another group will actually be displeased because they might be at odds type of deal.
Right.
So you could actually join the Dark Brotherhood and they're already like pissed at you.
Right. And then you got to go, you have to do some extra things in order to raise your reputation back up.
Right. To even get
positive.
To be on like speaking terms, even though you're in the game.
Right. 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 So then you have to have a high skill and a low skill minimum amount. So your highest guild skill has to be at least 23, and your lowest guild skill has to at least be 5. So it's not super hard to do, but the skills are, and I'll go through the list here. Archery, which makes sense, being able to shoot somebody from a distance. Backstabbing, yep. Which was a skill in Daggerfall. You got bonuses to attack at people in the back.
Yeah, you get free crits, I believe it is.
It's like triple damage.
Yeah, 2.5 damage or triple damage, something like that. I get it sometimes just by sneaking around and poking things just because it's a nightmare world.
Right.
And it kind of just speeds up some of the fights. And yeah, it does a decent chunk of damage usually.
Right. So backstabbing. So archery, backstabbing, climbing, critical strike, Daedric. It's just a skill line. Daedric.
Yeah, I believe if I remember correctly, that's one of the languages. So like being able to speak Daedric must help.
Oh, speaking Daedric.
It's because there's several different languages, and I'm pretty sure Daedric is one of the languages you can learn.
Okay. Destruction magic, the use of the short blade, which makes sense for...
Sure, for daggers.
Stabby things.
Yeah.
Stealth and streetwise. Streetwise was a skill in Daggerfall.
Yeah, streetwise is a skill.
Yeah.
Climbing, I stand by the fact that they need to bring back in the series.
Yeah, I think it would be cool.
More climbing.
Can you imagine like a Breath of the Wild kind of thing where you can kind of climb on anything, but you just have to get good enough to do it?
Yeah, I was going to say, you just have terrible stamina to start with and fall off a lot. And then by the end, you can just Skyrim up the wall and stuff like that.
Skyrim horse up a wall.
Yeah, yeah. Skyrim horse up the wall. If your skill level gets high enough, they just program it into the game as a feature.
Yeah, yeah. So in order to level up, you have to improve your reputation, but then at least pick two of these skills, which you can actually learn from people in the guild. There are trainers. That was a feature of Daggerfall, and you get your at least highest and then lowest of you, these two skills above the minimum amounts, and then you're able to level up. Basically, you go from ranks, and let's go through the ranks. You start at Apprentice, then you have Journeyman, Operator, Slayer, Executioner. They get real good, and that's only the fourth one out of nine. Punisher, Terminator, Assassin, Dark Brother, and then Master Assassin is at the top. And at Master Assassin, you have to have a reputation of 90, and your highest skill has to be 87, and your lowest skill has to be 37. So if you're someone who's doing sneaky, stabby, shoot people in the back, I mean, that's already three of those skills. So
yeah, I do find the rank names kind of funny compared to, like, this is one of the things that's definitely changed over time, where you have, like, the hand. So it's like you've got the, you know, the ranks and stuff like that. And, you know, you've got the five fingers that make up the hand, and it's got the listener. And that's kind of neat that they kind of, like, made a focus to it and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. I kind of played it out in a way that feels a little bit more visually interesting. Yes, you can imagine it in your head.
Right. It's like a visual representation of like your ranks, which I think is very creative. I'm a big fan of that. But I will say, like, there's the ranks, and after we finish with the ranks, personally, I find the members of the guild to be very funny, just that along the lines of titles to people. Because I find the titles in this game pretty funny, because some of those, like, Slayer, Executioner,
we'll get through that.
PvP titles in ESO.
Yeah, yeah. The actual member types of members, we'll go through that in a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll go through that in a minute. Yeah. But yeah, the ranks are pretty funny because they're really edgelord status.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is very 90s. This is like, yes. I mean, there's a movie called The Terminator. There's a band called Slayer. There's, like, all of this stuff comes from the 80s and 90s. So as you level up, each time you gain a rank, you may bribe a judge. And I suppose this has something to do with the whole getting arrested thing. And your chances improve as your rank goes up. You get better at bribing your way out of being in trouble.
Yeah, because the trial thing is actually, like, a pretty big portion of the game if you get busted. Where like, you actually can go to trial and you can defend yourself, you can, like, hire somebody to defend you if you have the money for it. And if you go to jail, like, you go to jail and your skills degrade because you're just not practicing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, you can try to lie your way out of it or be honest about it. It's like, I got arrested once, and I'm pretty sure I died in jail on stream, if I remember correctly, because I was just in there forever. But it's wild, like, how detailed it is.
Yeah, yeah. And then each time you get promoted, you discover a dungeon, an undiscovered dungeon location just gets revealed on your map. Just like, here's another place you can go explore if you wanted. And then you also gain access to other things from the guild. So at rank one, you can access the potion cellar. So you can buy potions. And Lotus, with the Dark Brotherhood here, there is a lot of focus on poisoning and this, like, the subterfuge side of murder. Like, we're gonna see this.
It's
in
a little less Skyrim style murder, a little bit
more poison your enemies, a little less stab them in the back.
Yeah,
kind of where this
it
is
definitely
going.
Aligned a little more with the way that they were, like, I mean, there were still ways you could creatively kill people in Skyrim and stuff like that, but there was, like, I don't know. I felt like Oblivion even had more of a focus on, like, creative ways of getting away with it. Mm-hmm. And this was very much like, no, you're not supposed to be getting into fights. Like, you're supposed to just
use your poison. Like,
yeah, you go in, you get the job done, and nobody should know who you are.
Right, right. So at rank one, you get the access to the potion cellar, which includes poisons. Rank three, you have access to the potion maker. This was a whole feature that they included in Daggerfall, the ability to create your own potions. And it wasn't super dynamic. It wasn't like you create a potion that does, like, two or three different things. When you drink it, it'll give you, like, a buff to your damage and resistance to cold. And, like, it's not as complex as that. But you can take the things that you found in the world and craft into a specific kind of potion. At rank five, you have access to the soul gem merchant. And so you can buy soul gems and sell them with this merchant. And then at rank seven, you have access to the spy master. And this is an expert who collects information. And they share some knowledge with you. I think that this is part of the whole, like, makes some of your quests a little bit easier because now you have access to this other information that you can get from this member.
Right. Yeah. The extra detail or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So you move up the ranks, you get all this access to other things. You talk to the different members of the guild. And unlike in later games where you just had like one Dark Brotherhood sanctuary, it didn't work like that in Daggerfall. There was a specific building in many of the towns that was the Dark Brotherhood building. And if you had access to the guild, you could go into that building, you could talk to the members at that location, you could buy things from them, you could continue your quest line or whatever you need to do with what gave you access to at that one building. And remember, the Daggerfall cities were actually very large. There are lots of buildings.
Very similar to real cities. Like, they're daunting sometimes to get across and find what you're looking for.
Right. And there were similarities across the ones that were specifically designed for the Dark Brotherhood because, you know, simplicity, make them all fairly similar.
For sure. Think of it, if for anybody who plays the Elder Scrolls Online, it's sort of like a bit more specific version of the Outlaw's Refuge.
They have
a similar feel to each of them, but they're unique. And most towns in the game will have an Outlaw's Refuge where you can kind of do your illegal activities.
Right. The major cities. To that there's at least like a major city in every section of the map.
Right. Similar to that type of thing. So they kind of brought it back a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that's kind of the overview of the leveling system and some of the stuff that you can see. Now, as you advance through the ranks, you get different conversation bits that pop up in the game. At rank one, you get this. It would appear that the Dark Brotherhood was wise in recruiting such of you. Our confidence in you has grown, and it is only right to give you an increase in rank with the Brotherhood. Consider yourself starting today a full-fledged journeyman. Our chemists have been instructed that you are permitted to buy potions and poisons from their wares, so you needn't visit the Mage's Guild any longer. I would also like to give you the location of another graveyard you ought really to be acquainted. It's a random dungeon. Here it is on your map. This is the whole, you get another location to just go visit. Once again, my congratulations, journeyman. Now, the other detail here is that up to this point, they're assuming that you would have gone to the Mage's Guild in order to buy and sell potions from them. Getting access to a potion seller or a potion maker is a thing that can unlock from different guilds, from different quest lines. And it turns out that the Dark Brotherhood unlocks that quest or unlocks that ability earlier than other quest lines, specifically the making of the potions.
Yeah.
So if you want to be able to make potions in Daggerfall, go do the Dark Brotherhood stuff first, level up to like rank 3, and then you get access to it earlier than you would in other guilds, which makes sense because
they want to poison people.
Right. And then rank 3, it says, so far, you have proven yourself to be more than a common thug. And then, of course, they add your player name. So Fredicus Maximus, we have decided to promote you within the Dark Brotherhood. Today, or beginning today, your rank is Slayer. Now, in addition to the regular training we provide, you have access to our cauldron. There are a number of very clever poisons that have come from that tub. The tub. Finally, let me give you the location of another graveyard you may find interesting. This random dungeon. I'll mark it on your map. Congratulations, Slayer. So far, so bad. What?
Beautiful. And in the background, it's just World Painted Blood playing.
So far, so good? No, so bad. At rank 5, you get this. It says, I think it's about time you received an increase in rank to match your value to the Dark Brotherhood. Others agree with me. So you may now assume the illustrious mantle of Punisher of the Dark Brotherhood. As a Punisher, you are permitted to deal in soul gems with our soul procurer. It's a nice method to add more profit to punishment. The souls of your victims can fetch a decent price among those who want a spirit to bind in enchantment rites. They're just totally pushing the whole, not only do we kill people, but sometimes we steal their souls and then sell them.
We love being evil for the sake of being evil.
Like, yeah. It goes on and says, of course, you can buy soul gems from your procurer as well as sell them. I also wanted to show you a new graveyard in the region, random dungeon. I think you'll find it very interesting indeed, Punisher. So yeah, you get access to the whole buying and selling of soul gems and also just trapping them from your victims in order yeah. to make profit.
I can't wait till we get to the eyeliner rank.
the rank seven is called My Chemical Romance. Weird. So at rank seven, you get this. They say your player name, Freticus Maximus. You have a callous disregard for human life, a disgusting nonchalance about accepting gold for murder. We couldn't be more delighted with you. The Brotherhood has chosen to once again promote you in our ranks. You are now Assassin Freticus Maximus. It is more than a title, though. It means you can now speak to our spymaster, the character who keeps us informed about the newest, most important happenings in the Iliac Bay region. I can give you a little rumor myself. There's a cemetery called Random Dungeon with the most delightful treasures and surprises. I know you'll love it. Here, I'll mark it on your map, Freticus Maximus, or should I say Assassin Freticus Maximus?
Yes, oh, you should. I expect to only be referred to as Assassin Freticus Maximus.
Right. I've been assassinating everybody and I finally yeah. get the title of Assassin. Cool. The other thing that's weird about this is when you do individual quests, we're used to games that are like, okay, go do this quest, go to this dungeon, go to this castle, wherever, kill this dude, come back, prove it, and we'll give you gold, maybe a fancy weapon, you know, something. You get paid right there. Here's what you get. Most of these quests, you only get the items that were in the dungeon. There's no, like, you get back, you're the benefit for completing the quests is the guild is happy with you.
The adventure you just went on, yeah.
Right, the guild is happy with you, your status improves a little bit, but it's mostly just, oh, you can keep the stuff that you got or
yeah,
had to,
you can
had
keep all the stuff you worked for. By the way, we will ignore you less. I'm not even going to say we like you more. We'll just snub you less.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be a little less snooty about you. So right. that's kind of the rough outline of how this works. But when you go visit these locations, there's a bunch of different members with some really cool names. And we're going to yep. get to that after we thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Kersine says, your reward was the journey and committing murder. Yeah, your reward were the friends that you killed along the way.
Yes, exactly. The trail of bodies you used to get back here.
Right, right. So thank you to all our patrons who help us out, all 110 of you currently. And welcome aboard to our newest patrons, Fall. And it's Peter with an IE in it. Pieter? Maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. Welcome to the Patreon. I'm so glad that you are here. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, and this list keeps on growing because both Fall and Pieter are Daedric Princes, along with Kirasi, oh. Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Hersine, who's in chat with us right now, and Blinding Vision. Thank you to all of you for supporting us at that level. That is amazing.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. And then if you are interested in getting cool stuff, in helping us out, in pitching in a little bit to keep the show going, if you want to say thanks for helping you get through your workday or your commute or any of that stuff, head over to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast and check out all the different tiers. Ad-free episodes. If you're binging through a bunch, it's an easy way to catch up quicker. You can also get stickers and t-shirts and join us on our Patreon chats. All sorts of fun stuff over there. So go check that out. Also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We don't have any new ones this week, but the next time we get one, we will read it out on the show. And you can also share it with your friends. You can rate the show on Spotify. There's lots of other ways that you can help us out. We couldn't do it without you. So thanks for being here. All right, let's move on with the rest of the Dark Brotherhood from Daggerfall. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, man, that was that that one. That was a Dark Brotherhood voice there that we heard.
It was very on brand, Wes.
Very on brand, Wes. Thank you. But that part of the Dark Brother doesn't happen for some time after the events of Daggerfall. I think that's another thing worth mentioning here, is that even in Daggerfall, the Dark Brotherhood, there's mystery around the background. There's speculation that they've been around for centuries, if not millennia.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've covered some of this in just the actual Dark Brotherhood like basis episodes, as opposed to this one, which was how it specifically relates to the Daggerfall quest line.
Yeah. But even in this first time we get introduced to them way back in Daggerfall,
right,
a lot of that is already there. So they're a mysterious group. They are basically unlawfully doing what they're doing. People kind of shun it, but they can't stop them from doing what they've been doing because they're very good at what they do. And they've been around for a really long time. On top of that, some other things that are still there include the pseudo worship of the Night Mother. I guess you could say respect.
Yeah, the reverence of her.
The reverence of the Night Mother exists already in this quest line. She's brought up. And also, it's pretty well understood, at least in this game, that they're a pseudo-religious group, and they are associated with Mephala, specifically. And I don't feel like in the later games that's as prominent.
I was about to say, that's kind of become much less prominent. The focus definitely aims more toward, like, if it's not them talking about the Night Mother, it's them talking about Sithis,
right?
Like,
right,
as opposed to Mephala. But
I think we speculated when we talked about the Dark Brotherhood, and this is going way back, that Mephala may be involved, and that there is a connection between Mephala and Sithis, and
right,
like there's something weird going on there that hasn't really been illuminated to us as players. But there is kind of that, like, baggage of this reference.
And actually, to Outlander Frog's point, which I'm glad they mentioned that, because it was something I was like, am I remembering this wrong? Mephala is tied more into the Morag Tong, which is the much more sanctioned Assassin's Guild. So it's almost like this is where that split kind of, like, formed a little bit.
Yeah, if I recall, when we talked about the Morag Tong, I think you or I even speculated that when the Morag Tong was removed, that she redoubled her interest in the Dark Brotherhood or something like that.
Right, and it's that's just it. It's a little nebulous with all of that.
Right.
And the focus in the later games definitely became more of Sithis as the focus, or like, oh yeah, it's the Night Mother, and then it's like, okay, for our, you know, our deity, theoretically, they always refer to, you know, sending souls to the void for Sithis and stuff like that.
Right. So it continued to be more fleshed out as the games went on, which everything does. But what's really cool is how much of this stuff was already there. This group of these, like, shady individuals who are sending you off on these missions to go murder people. and the Night Mother being somebody who was already being referenced all the way back in Daggerfall. Now, the members that you come across have different titles, and they have these different looks. Some of them are wearing like black robes. Some of them just look like regular people, but they just happen to be hanging out in the guild hall because they do a job and they work for the Dark Brotherhood. So we have, let's go through the list here. We have Dark Mixers. These are, and in this, they're all referred to as brothers. Brothers who offer potion making services within the Dark Brotherhood. They allow all members of Slayer rank or higher, which we talked about before, to make their own potions, provided they have the ingredients. So you didn't go to like a crafting table. You went to the Dark Mixer and you spoke to them, and then you were able to make your potions. And their services are free. So not a bad deal.
Free's good.
Yeah, free's good. And then we have Venom Masters. So the Dark Mixers have like black outfits. The Venom Masters kind of just look like regular, I don't know,
nerds.
Medieval people walking around with their big long tunics and their red
hats.
Honestly,
it's kind of funny. The Venom Master actually looks almost like a courier more than anything else.
He's got a little saddlebag on the side.
He's got a little saddlebag. He's got his jaunty little outfit going on.
Right, right. So these are the potion sellers in the Dark Brotherhood. They sell a random assortment of potions to all members of journeyman rank or higher. Of course, you have to get to that rank. And the cost of these potions is influenced by your reputation with the Venom Masters. And this is another one of those weird things. Remember how, like, we talked about this on previous episodes. Your reputation with, like, a specific group is like a thing, but then there might be like the people associated with that group, which is a sub reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of that plays into this. And of course, you can get a better deal if you, I guess, make the Venom Masters happy somehow.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Sure.
It sounds good.
All right.
I appreciate the complexity to Daggerfall, but sometimes it's so complex that it's just like, oh my god, some of these systems are just like systems almost for the sake of being systems.
Yeah, they totally realize this later, that like your general, like the general attitude of the guild as a whole should just apply to all the guild members, period. Well, it doesn't need to be like individual.
It's a little too nuanced to every single person within the guild itself. And you know, some people feel that the series has been too simplified. A lot of people, you know, you constantly hear that it's like, oh, I'd like them to bring back. And I totally get that. And there's some stuff I'd like to see them kind of bring back. But it's like, I even like the reputation idea. But mm-hmm. It's like, I don't need individual reputations amongst groups within a guild. It's like, this is just...
Yeah, it's a little too fine.
This is
too
the type of thing
fine.
That makes me need to do a guild cleansing and decide all of these things are mine.
Right. So also in this group, we have Dark Slayers. Lotus, how would you describe the Dark Slayers? What are they?
It's just like... It literally, so for anybody who hasn't seen like my streams, or you can just look on the UESP for these, Mana Marco is just like the king edgelord, where It's just like this robe. You can't even see his face. It's just like dark, evil, like shadowed hood, no idea what's behind it. And then you have the Slayers, who similar hood, super demonic, like, oh, look how cool I look, but I hide in the shadows. Also, I'm turbo ripped.
Right. Yeah. They don't have shirts on. They're shirtless.
Jacked.
And they've got like, they're jacked. And then they've got like a big long cape and black pants, a black cape, black shoes. Everything's black except for like the frills around the edge of the hood and the robe, which are like a yellowy gold color. And then what appears to be maybe a chain that hangs down in front. I suppose it's a chain and not like a piece of fabric.
So that was the thing, is I can't quite tell if it's a chain or if it's like one of those things, like if you ever see like
it's like a drape,
like the
like
way a priest has like a
shawl.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's got like the holy symbol like down the front on like the front shawl. It could be that.
To the knees? Like it's a little weird.
It's a little hard to tell because it is like pixelated graphics, and the model looks pretty neat, but like
Total edgelord.
Not entirely sure what that's supposed to represent in that situation.
Right. So these are the Dark Slayers, and they offer contracts, which are the quests, to guild members. Usually the contracts they provide will not have any particular reward attached, right? You just have to get your treasure out of the dungeon, which we talked about before.
So I want to just jump down instead of going right to the next one, because it just connects to this one. I don't know if you, did you see the Dark Trainers?
Yeah, it's the same model, right?
It's literally the same model.
Right, the Dark Trainer. Let's jump to the Dark Trainer. They basically give you the trading services, and the training costs are independent of your character level. So it's basically like 100 gold per level to be trained. That's basically it. It's not independent, it's dependent on.
Right. So the higher you level up,
the more it costs you by 100 gold every time you level up higher,
right,
to train in a skill. And of course, they give you the ability to train in any of the guild skills, along with a few extra, like running and swimming and dodging. I think those are the three that are not on both lists.
Yeah.
So you could train in those skills if you wanted to, but it's not going to help with your guild ranking.
Right. And don't they have a cap as to how much you can train to?
Yeah, like 50%, I think.
Yeah, 50%. I was going to say, I don't think they let you just like binge out and be like a superhero based solely on training.
Right.
But yeah, I just thought it was funny that model's just straight up the exact same model. Appreciate the photos used. Shout out to the people who chose the two photos on USP, because it's the same thing but slightly in a different position, so you can tell it's not the same
picture. Not the same photo. Yeah, it's definitely a different person. But yeah, so we got two more, and the next one is called the Dark Binder. These are the people that sell the soul gems. This looks like a spooky old lady walking with a cane, with like a robe or a shawl or something around her, and she's kind of like, I don't know, kind of bent over looking, you know, kind of witch-like without a witch hat. And basically, these are the ones you go to when you want to buy and sell soul gems. So if you want to, like, you know, put somebody's spirit into eternal slavery, this is how you do it.
Or buy a trapper keeper.
Yeah. And occasionally, you may put trapper keeper. Is that?
Yeah, binders.
Is that where you store your souls? yep. Occasionally, you may be
store my soul gems.
So occasionally, you may be lucky enough to find filled soul gems available for purchase, which is part of what she does. But it's kind of the randomness of the game, right? Like, sometimes they're just not there. So too bad.
Yeah, because their inventory. I don't know if there's a system to the way they roll, but it's like, the set inventory like kind of rolls weird, because I remember a lot of times when I was trying to buy supplies, it's like, I missed the thing I wanted and now it's not there, type of deal. So
right.
I assume it's very similar. I've never bought soul gems in Daggerfall as of yet, but
yeah. So remember we talked about, once you hit assassin level, you hit like max level, you get access to the spy masters. These are called dark plotters. They are the spy masters. This is them. And they basically provide information and rumors. They're another character you can talk to and you can get some more details, because that's kind of how Daggerfall works, right? You walk into a town, you start asking people questions, and they're like, yeah, I think maybe over there somewhere. And then you go over there and you look. This is an extension on that in my mind, except that I bet this information is a lot more beneficial than your average person on the street.
I would think this information is a little better.
I would imagine.
Maybe a little more accurate.
But you know, it's the Dark Brotherhood, so maybe you can't trust everything. I guess you'll just have to find out.
I don't know. They seem like a very trustworthy group.
Yeah. Well, this individual also just wears all black. Isn't as edgelordy as, say, the Dark Trainer and the other one. But
yeah, this just looks like somebody I would have gone to high school with. Not a big deal.
Also has a dagger on their side.
All right. Also, yeah. Also. Right. Also has a dagger.
So that's
probably best not to go to school with them.
yeah. So that's the Dark Brotherhood. Outside of all of that stuff, it's still the Dark Brotherhood, right? Like, there are more complicated bits that go into Daggerfall. This idea that, like, they're an organization and they have connections to other organizations. So if you do a quest for another organization, it may affect you're standing with the Dark Brotherhood, even though it's not directly connected. There's a little bit of that stuff going on. There's I mean, that's most of the important bits. Anything else that comes to mind, Lotus?
No, and it was one of the things I've been actually, I forgot to look it up earlier, but I've been looking it up while we've been recording to see if it's a thing, because I actually have not joined the Dark Brotherhood, and it seems like there doesn't seem to be any mention of it on the UESP that I can see specifically. I guess it's a really weird situation that I'd just be curious on, but I guess if you, so I'm a werewolf in my game, not intentionally, it just happened, and I have been going with the, like, I'm just going to play out how the game goes, and I ended up becoming a werewolf, and by being a werewolf in the series, you periodically need to feed, which, in other words, just beat the crap out of some innocent civilians once a moon cycle, and that counts. Like, okay, you fed, because otherwise you take a massive health reduction. Like, it's crazy, crazy. Mm-hmm. But the benefits are great. You get like 50% all of your like strength and stamina and all that stuff, which is really useful. I have punched many a town person to death for feeding, and it actually doesn't seem like it triggers the Dark Brotherhood thing. It doesn't.
Maybe because you're already a werewolf.
Right, because you have to do it in werewolf form, because you, this little claw comes out on your screen instead of like it'd be your fist in a first-person shooter
so
sword.
You're not just a person like killing someone else. You are now a werewolf.
So I
werewolf.
Wonder if it attributes the murder to the werewolf form rather than like your character, because I've definitely fed way more times than that, or it counts as a feeding instead, maybe, like, or, instead of a murder.
Well, there are some things in Daggerfall where, like, if you do certain things, it automatically cuts you off from other parts of the game. So maybe being a werewolf means
tons of ways to fail at Daggerfall.
Right. So maybe either being a werewolf means that you can't join the guild and it completely cuts that off.
I never thought of that.
I believe I read in doing the research for this, I came across, and this is just in my brain, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe if once you are in the guild, you become a vampire, that's a way to leave the guild. Like, they don't want you around anymore if you're a vampire. In fact, they will continue, like, just like turning it down at the beginning, they might come after you and hunt you. So
yeah, maybe
I don't know.
This is
maybe
a weird
that,
loophole type of thing.
It might.
It's like,
I wonder if that plays into it, like, if you are already in the guild and you become a werewolf, maybe.
Well,
that
it was funny because, like, I didn't really think of it until we like started the show. I was like, hey, is that a thing? Like, wait a minute. Like, I kill lots of civilians because I need to do it to stay alive.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
and
tough with these old games.
My note from, unless they handed to me, you get a lot of notes, like what we referred to earlier, when like the kid comes up and places the note in your hand type of deal. That's a like a word feature. Like, it's literally just like a description of what happens, like what you literally read. That's the message you get in the middle of your screen. You don't physically see that happen,
right?
Because a lot of this back then was kind of like,
we're gonna tell you what happened because we can't animate it on your screen right now.
Exactly,
right.
So I almost wonder, it makes me want to check. My guess is that it didn't actually happen, but I'm kind of curious, have I had this note this whole time and I've just never read it? Because I get handed a lot of random stuff.
It's tricky with these old games, because like, if you and I wanted to test this stuff out, it would take a lot of time for us to be able to do that. It's not like just jumping into Skyrim and then using console commands to like force a situation to happen and load a save that you happen to have that was good enough. Like, that's pretty easy to test that stuff out. And on top of it, games like Skyrim have tons of content up on the internet. So if you wanted to look up something like that, you could probably find a video somewhere where somebody's talking about like, hey, check this out. If you are a werewolf and you try to do the Dark Brotherhood, they don't let you in. Like, that stuff's pretty clear with the modern games. You go back to Daggerfall, it's hard to find information about this stuff, and it's even harder to test it out because of how obtuse the game is.
And Daggerfall's one of the more like well-known ones. You go to Arena, there's even less of a following, or more abstract games.
And there was no internet. I mean, there was internet back then, but not like there is today.
There was
like,
barely internet, because barely that's internet. When UESP literally claimed the stake as one of the first websites.
So if you know more about this stuff, let us know. But that's,
if you have any
that's what we
specific
know so
insight on that one, because I actually don't have an answer to that. So if anybody does know specifically, I would be curious to know the answer to that.
And the other piece of this is that the game has a lot of bugs in it. like these early games were pushed out very quickly. And if you like, to prove this, you can just scroll down to any of the Daggerfall articles on the UESB.
The bottom part.
And the bottom part always has these notes about like, well, if you accidentally do this thing instead of doing this thing in this order, then you can't finish this quest line. So make sure you don't do that or whatever, because there's a bug. You know,
it becomes a thing. Stupid mic stand. It becomes a thing where there's so much openness to it. It also becomes, it's why I've always like kind of cut these games some degree of slack, because I'm allowed to do so much.
Yeah.
As somebody who briefly did beta testing way back in the day type of thing, you kind of have to prioritize bugs and things like that. And you need to be able to recreate them. And some of these are totally recreatable, of course, but it's just the amount of openness provides just so many, no exaggeration, in many cases, billions of scenarios where it's like, well, okay, you happened to go into this dungeon and it was on this day and you had 37 watermelons in your cart, which caused this error. Yeah. And it's like,
nobody thought to test carrying 37 watermelons into this dungeon because that didn't seem like a thing anyone would do.
On but guess what? Someone did it. And it's like, oh, well, no, it's a full moon and it causes this to happen. Right. And the dungeon explodes and the game ends. And it's like, there's not any reasonable way to test something like
that's
that.
That's true.
And it comes as a result of the procedural generation as well as just the literal size and scope of the game itself.
Yep. It's I don't know. I we talked in our last episode what we want for like Elder Scrolls 6 and the key parts of these games that really make them feel Elder Scrolls. And I'm with you. If you give me more systems and more openness and make the world feel more responsive and allow me to craft what feels like a truly unique story for my playthrough, then I'm okay with bugs, or I'm okay with some amount of bugs.
As long as they're not like obviously, my only problem is when they are game breaking and not to be rude, but sometimes some pretty obvious ones occasionally get through, and just based on how beta testing works, it kind of, or I guess beta testing is now a way to sell pre-orders, so we'll call it QA testing. But like, you know, there's priorities to things, so sometimes they don't get matched. But the one that I always had a huge problem with, where I was like, there's no way this was not known, was selling your Thieves Guild armor back to a Thieves Guild fence and needing to upgrade that armor in order to rank up in the guild.
Oh, yeah. That feels a little...
So if you sell the armor, because you could have better armor, which I did at the time, if you sell that armor to a fence and you need to upgrade, the fences no longer talk to you till you upgrade.
Right, so you're stuck.
You literally can't buy your armor back, so you get in a loop of just, you can't progress. This storyline is dead. And I'm like, what a stupid way of having that, because it totally happened to me, and I was furious. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's not that out of the realm of possibility. Like, there's no way I can be the only one that thought of that. And back in the day with Skyrim, you looked at the forums, because like GameFAQs was like the forums, and it was everybody, like so many people had done that. And I'm like, this one had to have been known. Like, there's no way.
Right. Somebody tested this one. Come on.
Right. But it didn't make the priority list, probably, of like, okay, if you go into this shop at noon, a mammoth spawns and crushes everybody. It's that one's still higher priority.
Right. Or like, you know, 10% of the people couldn't get out of Helgen at the beginning because of some loop that kept the door from opening or something. Kicked. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, so that's clearly a more important one to fix. But yeah, it's. Yeah, game design is tough. It's complicated. If you ever really want a glimpse of how to do game design, try writing a choose your own adventure story.
Yes.
Try just write a choose your own adventure story.
And make you get work.
and give yourself, like, for every page, when you get to the bottom of the page, give somebody a decision, like do this or do that. And you'll quickly find how exponential that becomes in the number of extra pages you have to create over and over and over and over again. And then working that into a game scenario is even more complex. So it is kind of amazing that we do have what we have here. But it all goes back. It all goes back to Daggerfall, and at least in the Dark Brotherhood sense, to this guild right here. So there you go. That's where we're at.
Yeah. This is the original formation of it to something that's one of the biggest staples in the series nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. That's cool. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the live stream. And Lotus, do you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
We're probably going to be recording an episode of the UESP's Tales of Tamriel this weekend to discuss all the Gold Road that's launched on PC.
I'm still have to do the
patiently
page.
Waiting random for page. It on console. And it was funny. I actually remember this time, but the Lord of the Random Page is in chat with us like usual here, scene. So yeah. The only other thing that I would actually say other than that, if you want to check out all of that stuff is, should we kick off our random page before we have our outro?
Yeah, we can do that. All right. You ready for this one?
I am. I love how everybody in chat now is so excited for the random page. This is a great random idea, page. Tom.
Yeah. This is fun. All right. So random page gave us, this is from Elder Scrolls Online. This is a book. It is called Wanted Turver Sadri. This is just like a wanted poster.
Is it one of the goals? Is it from ESO?
Yeah, it's from ESO. It says, wanted Turver Sadri, a wanted notice for a fugitive. Turver Sadri is wanted for the murder of Master Salos of House Salos. He is considered an armed menace. Turver Sadri was last seen in Eastern Dishan. Any information onto the whereabouts of Turver Sadri should be given to Nervina Salos. There you go. And you can find it in Mournhold or other places in Mournhold. It's just two different
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure if you go to like the crafting area by the way shrine, I'm pretty sure that's what do you call it, it's on like the board. And yes, I was gonna say Turver is yes from Darkshade Caverns 1. Excellent pull, Outlander Frog.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Honestly, that is perfect for the Dark Brotherhood episode. It was like it was meant to be because
the random gods
totally
knew.
Kill him.
They knew the random gods. They knew it. Mephala. We all just have to thank Mephala and the Night Mother. But anyway, sorry. This came up while we were doing our little outro thing. But anything else you want to share?
No, that was it. I was going to say we're hoping to record this weekend. Very excited for Gold Road myself on console. I have a little delay and I've played the trial already at Amsterdam. So that I'm not too concerned about being spoiled at. So other than that, I've just been jumping into people's streams to check out the zone, avoiding the story because I want to do it myself. But it is really pretty.
Yeah, I've played a few hours of it so far. I did I did the preliminary quest. I did the first few steps of the main quest. I won't spoil anything. There's this whole script thing that allows you to do the whole, I don't know, magic crafting new thing that's in
the
game.
Scribing system. I'm very excited to get my hands on.
Yeah. So that's a whole series of quests, and the lore in it is actually pretty cool. It takes you lots of different places. It's a little grindy, but it's not bad. It's entertaining. The characters are interesting. It adds interesting depth to the lore. And this is something that we're going to have to address once you and I have a chance to play through this. And we've given people, we usually give people a few months, usually by like the end of the year, like for November, December, we'll kind of come around to talk about the most recent expansion. But there are some significant updates to how we may want to perceive the lore, and even some theories around things like the tower themes, like the theories. And
interesting,
they're introducing a Daedric prince who was supposedly removed from reality back into reality. She's the prince of paths, and that has to do with the way reality works. And so this touches on a lot of the things that people have been debating for 20 years now. So we were gonna have to come back around and address some of how this affects things, which is exciting. That's super fun.
I was gonna say brace for impact, lore nerds.
And don't get too upset if it's like, oh, it's changing your headcanon. Guess what, that's headcanon for a reason, because it hasn't been confirmed in a game yet. So that's exciting to get confirmation. We shouldn't feel like, oh, that's not what I think the lore should be. We should be like, oh, well, that's what they say the lore is, so let's continue and move on with that and ask new questions. Because
I'm even more excited yeah. about it now.
Yeah. So
I'll grow my neck beard strong for that episode. I'll shave
by
my
December,
normal beard.
This part's all going to be clean shaven. We're just going to be beards from the neck down. Just right here. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be the most handsome men in America. Anyway, glad that you're all here. Thanks for being here. If you want to check out the rest of my stuff, robotsradio.net for all the other shows that I do. Follow Lorecast, Lord of the Rings Lorecast, a bunch of other things from other creators and other shows that I do as well. So go check that stuff out. And thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you next time. Stay safe out there and, you know, try not to piss off the Dark Brotherhood or even get invited to join them and then turn them down.
Getting invited could also be pissing them off.
That would be both of those would be bad. So stay safe. See you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.